In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome this World Communion Sunday to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're here. If you are visiting with us, we would like to extend a special welcome to you and hope that you will make your presence known to us, both as you join us after the service in a time of fellowship in the Hope Room, but also for everyone to sign the friendship pads that you'll find at the end of the pew and share any information you would like us to have by way of contacting you and pass it down the pew so that we may greet you by name following the worship service. We're glad you're here. Our college fellowship will be having brunch after worship this morning. So any college students that are here with us are welcome to have brunch following worship downstairs. It is hosted this week by the Lockharts, and it's Sally's famous lasagna. So she is vegetarian and regular. So Beatrice says yes. So college students, please join us. If you need a ride after the fellowship brunch, we'll be make sure that you get one home to the various colleges you all attend, and we're glad that you're part of our community here as well. Members of this church are reminded of the opportunity to host our college students every first Sunday of the month. Get some friends together, host it. It doesn't have to be as fancy as lasagna. But anything to try to get to know and welcome our college students as we gather together here. Also this morning, upstairs in the couches room at the top of the stairs, we will be holding a conversation about our outreach ministries and the ways in which we see needs and opportunities in the community around us. You are invited to be part of that conversation. You can learn more about what we're already doing. You can bring your ideas. You can meet some other folks who would like to be thinking and talking about outreach. If you have questions about it, talk to Jenny Surgner or Murray Blackadar. Right after the worship service, they'll help you find the way up there. We'll begin pretty close to 11:30, and it will keep it strictly to an hour, so grab some coffee and head on up and join us up there. There's a green insert in the bulletin with more information about it, if I'm talking too fast, which I probably am. Continuing through the week of many activities in the life of this congregation, Pastor Medhat's going to share a little bit about what the Interim Study Committee is up to.
The Interim Study Committee has been meeting since I came back from my vacation, so we're really trying to work hard as much as we can and as fast as we can, too. So our next meeting this Tuesday, at 6:30, and to give you an idea about where we are at this moment is the committee is working on finishing a draft that will be handed to you next week. Will be in the as an insert in the bulletin, and the draft is really highlighting three things: the vision, the mission of the church, and which direction the church wants to take in the future. And on the 20th, 2 weeks from today, we will have a congregation meeting to discuss the draft, and this will be our last chance to put any idea. As a committee, we want to be sure we are really reflecting what you think and what you hope, so we don't want just to imagine or assume, so we want to be sure this is what you thought, it's what you wrote down when you did the survey, and when we met three times down the stairs during June and July. So please try to keep this on your calendar. So next week, the draft will be ready to see. We'll send it out. So if you'd like to read it electronically, who will be available too. So pray for us. This is a very important time, and we are moving forward. Thank you very much.
And at the end of the week, we have a couple of events happening too that need some highlighting. Tom is going to talk about the youth event on Friday night.
All you youth out there, Friday night, 7 to 9, we're having our game night here at church. Come for a good time.
And in
the Hope Room.
And middle school and high school youth.
And on Saturday,
Saturday is the fall church work day. Everybody's invited. We're going to paint. We're going to paint the trim around the stained glass windows outside. We're going to do the yard work and eat a lot of donuts. You're all welcome. No skill required. 9 a.m. Saturday.
And I think there'll be a few inside projects as well, so. What? Oh, Jenny has an announcement too.
One more outreach announcement is that today we, you'll notice in your pews, it's a little awkward, that there are envelopes for the peacemaking offering. Our contributions, quarter of the contributions will go to a local organization, and this year we've chosen the Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence here in Providence. And you'll also see an insert with more information, sort of aware of where the rest of the money might go. There's an insert there from about the peacemaking offering and human trafficking, I believe. So please make a donation to the peacemaking offering, and if you have any questions afterwards, you can come see me. We're going to be dedicating those today, though.
And we will be continuing to accept donations for the peacemaking offering through the month of October as well.
Just have a few announcements. First, I just want to remind people that there is a Sunday morning Bible study happening at 9 a.m. led by Jerson and Glenn Ramsey, and they are studying the Book of Mark. If there are those of you with children who are interested in attending but wondering about childcare, if you would please sign up and let me know if you would be able to attend if we did provide childcare. That way I can arrange for that. So please sign up on the bulletin board during coffee hour so I can... Oh, it's upstairs. The Bible study has moved upstairs, so if you're looking for where they are meeting, they'll be upstairs at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The next announcement, just another reminder that we do have the nut-free table available during coffee hour, and if people are interested in donating items for that, please see the list of approved items for that table, or if you have any questions, please see me and I can help try to answer some of those. And last but not least, the Nurture team will be hosting a fall festival on Saturday, October 26th. Everyone is welcome to attend. Please tell your friends and neighbors. We will have a morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll have food and crafts and activities for the kids, a bouncy house. So it should be, pray for good weather so that we'll have a nice fall day to enjoy all the things that have to do with fall. Andrew has promised us the largest pumpkin in the state of Rhode Island. So we'll have another Guess the Weight of the Pumpkin contest as well. If you are interested in helping out for that day, we do have a sign-up sheet. We do need some food donations as well as volunteers to help out with some of the activities. So please see the sign-up on the bulletin board in the Hope Room. And again, if you have any questions, please see me during coffee hour.
And that is the youth mission activity for this month. So middle school, high school-aged youth, confirmation class, this counts as your mission activity for the month. And we'd love to have your help and also talk to Ronak, who was really active with it last year in the college fellowship. And maybe some of our college students will come play, too. So. Come, the Spirit calls, come. With all that you have, with all that you are, be open to Christ's healing, to the call of God in these days. Come, let us worship God as we sing together, God of mercy, God of grace.
Thank you.
Our Lord calls, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God invites us into an overwhelming love, a forgiveness beyond any wild imagining. Let us come then this day in prayer, opening our hearts honestly before God and one another, first in silence and then as we pray together our prayer of confession. Merciful God, in your loving presence, we confess our sins. God of the universe, we have not always acted in ways that enhance life for our communities, our world, or our environment. We have forgotten to honor the sacredness and grandeur of your creation. Our fears and our selfishness have prevented us from seeing others as your children. Restore us, O God of life. May your Spirit sweep over us as it swept over the waters on that first day of creation, calling forth life from the void. Birth in us a spirit of love, compassion, and courage, that your reign might be on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the one who has declared your reign among us, amen. Let us join together in our song of confession, verse 1 of Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, number 210 in the large hymnal. Sisters and brothers, God is merciful and kind. In Jesus, God reveals a holy love, a love that transcends even death. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Now it's time to share our joy and concern among each other and into the Lord.
Happy to announce my sister-in-law Angela and her family are visiting with us this weekend. She's right over there. So prayers for her. Prayers for them as they head on back into Virginia this afternoon.
And I continued prayers for Walter. The new medication seems to be working somewhat. I also like prayers for the family of our Synod Stated Clerk, David Mears, whose memorial service will be Wednesday in Albany, and I'll be driving to that.
Ask you to pray. Last week and this week, many students are taking the NECAP test, which determines whether students, teachers, and schools are failing or succeeding. So please pray for that.
Like to ask prayers for the family of Shadrach Walker. His daughter and son are teammates of Gus and Nathan. He was killed in an automobile accident this past weekend. It was last weekend. And the girl is in Nathan's homeroom also. So, and also prayers for the community at the school that they'll be supportive.
Dearly beloved, my brothers and my sisters, I hope and pray that all of us will pray for God's providential word to break through and speak some words of justice and wisdom and courage to all in our government who is shutting this government down. And hopefully, through our prayers and moving our feet, we can help to open it up. Special prayers for all those victims of this shutdown. Indeed, it's getting to a point where it has to do with eating and taking care of our brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Continue prayers for my friend Marcia as she's struggling with her chemo, and also for my mother's Aunt Artis who joined the Lord this week.
Continued prayers for Phil as he's on his medical mission trip to Ethiopia this week.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my good friend Grace's son, Danny, who's 32 and has been diagnosed with cancer. He had surgery, but now they found something else in his stomach. He has two babies.
I have a joy. I have my family visiting today, and Dawson's first birthday is this Friday.
Dawson's grandmother's birthday is today. Gracious and loving God, amidst the chaos and frustrations of these days in our society and the pain of our world, we come to pray seeking you. We pray for wisdom and justice, compassion, mercy, and courage and love amongst all your people. Guide us in your ways alone, throughout our country and world, that your will may be done for the fullness of life for all your people. We pray your hand particularly upon those who are really struggling in these days. where decisions impact lives, where wisdom is truly needed. We pray for those who would witness strongly to your grace and blessing as they journey forth in faith. We pray for Phil in his time in Ethiopia, for Zach now in Liberia with Aluma here, for the welcome of this church community to those who are seeking, for care of others as we move forward in faith. We give thanks this day for those in our presbytery for whom we pray, for Susan and Tom, for Margaret, for Claudio, for the Presbyterian Church of Old Greenwich in its international outreach. We lift our prayers for the Mears family in this week as they join together to memorialize David. We see, O God, your healing hand amongst us, and we give thanks for that. We pray for your continued strength for Letitia in these days, for Jackie. We continue to seek your healing for those undergoing medical challenges, spoken and unspoken, for Jahada in cancer surgery Tuesday, for Shirley as she accompanies her on the journey, for Melinda as she continues to struggle, for Andre, for Walter, for Marcia, for Dan. We give thanks, O God, for the blessings and joys of our lives, for Dawson's first birthday upcoming, for the joy of family together in celebrating that, for Angela and her family visiting this week. We pray, O Lord, for those who grieve in these days, in the continuing pain of losses and anniversaries of deaths. We lift to you the community prep family as they grieve alongside the Walker family in this sudden loss. We give thanks, O God, this day for the many gifts of community and pray for the confirmation class underway, for all in church school and study programs seeking and leading them, seeking to help us all grow in faith, for the work of our interim study committee moving us forward into new directions. For those who are taking the kneecap test this week, we lift special prayers, and we give thanks for the teachers who lead and inspire our children and students. Make us mindful, O God, of our blessings as we seek and see you at this table you have prepared for us. Help us to be one in your spirit, in the power of our Lord who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are released to their classes at this time, ages 3 through 5th grade downstairs. And you're reminded the family room is upstairs if your children need a little bit more room to run around and are under 3 with adults accompanying. You can hear the worship service from up there depending on how loud they are.
Good morning. The first reading is Psalm 123, 1 to 4. And this psalm is about a prayer of God's people for mercy. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than its fill of the scorn of those who are at ease. of the contempt of the proud. The second reading is John 15, 9 to 17. This reading is part of the vine and branches story, and Jesus the Son glorifies his Father, and we, the disciples, also glorify our Father. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is number 129, Come, O Spirit, Dwell Among Us.
Good morning, and I wish you a wonderful new season. As we can see, the weather is telling us we are heading toward a new season. If we look outside, we are saying goodbye to the summer, and we are going closer and closer to the fall. And as the nature is telling us about that part of the reality of really moving from one day to one spot of the light and the other day maybe in a spot of the dark. And maybe all together we can see as God's hand is going through the cycle of life as we see, as we need in the nature to be not only one season but different seasons. And it's the same approach, it's the same idea that will help us to understand the context of Psalm 123. If we go back, and if you can remember with me when we talked about Psalm 22, it seems it's on the opposite side of the tone of the psalmist. We can see the difference between Psalm 122 and Psalm 123 is like moving from the daytime to the dark time. In 122, we can hear the joy all over and happiness being all over. They even they forgot they had been tired and they walked all the way. And they were standing in this holy city. And today, in 123, we can see the big shift where the psalmist is crying for help. The contrast we can see between Psalm 122 and Psalm 123 is to highlight the reality we should face as a believer. God and Christ did not promise us a life that full of all wonderful things and all easy things, but he promised he will be all the time with us. He didn't promise us with a fairy tale. He promised us with a tough life, but with a strong faith. He promised us maybe sometimes we feel we'll walk alone, but he will be there, tapping on our shoulder to remind us we are not alone. As we know and as we hear on the news and all this political thing going on in our country, and all of us wondering, which one of these voices is right? Which one is really care about people who are going without job and people who are going with no maybe check to pay for their food and for their daily needs? When you get and you hear all these voices, and you feel standing between the intersection and feel confused, which way could we go? Which one we can believe with all these noisy and hard voices? But this psalm is reminding us about when we get tired and sick of our own humanity, there is a way and there is a direction we can turn to. He's telling us even when life does not stay all the time on a straight line and when it doesn't give us what we want and what we deserve as human, he says it's okay to cry. And it's sad even to hear some people are really not even allowing people to cry and scream about what's going on in our country and our political system is not fair for many people on the street. Even the right to cry and to talk about their need and their worry and their concern about where this conversation and this debate going to take us. Are these people staying on an ivory tower? They are just debating, but they don't know their words hurt us because it turned every day to could we have food or not? Could we pay our bill or not? Could we stay with no fear about is this going to stay longer or going to be solved soon? And the psalmist is telling us, when you feel you're that confused and worried, it's okay to cry. It's okay to turn to God because this cry is about being an honest and authentic. It's not about what should people say us and what we should say. It's about what we feel and how it's reflect where we are at this moment. That's what the psalmist felt at this moment. He didn't worry about just people say, do you remember last week or last day or yesterday, you were full of joy and hallelujahs and all wonderful things. And today you look like a different person. But in all this difference, he's reflecting the moment. And he's trusting his God. He is the true ruler and the true governor. and the true king that really care about the true justice. And here, he gave us an opportunity to be faithful and real at the same time. In other words, he or she is giving us the permission not to be a superman or superwoman, but to be honest and real people. The reality we can learn here is that God created us in a world full of joy and cry, the world is full of oppressors and oppressed. The world is full of wars and killing, but also a world of an opportunity for peace. The world for rich and poor. God has put us in the middle of these, not to ignore these two sides, but to live honest. This psalm started as an individual cry in verse 1, and it turned to be a national or public cry in the rest of the psalm. And this is to remind us how important to keep the prophetical voice that most times start with individual, and most of the time start with powerless people. But remember, powerless people scared powerful people. Remember, that's what happened with Jesus. A man who's tied, and a man has no physical power, but he was able to face it by voice and speak about the truth when he faced Pilate. And even it happened with Paul too. These people who seem very powerless, but when they speak the truth, they remind us about something we don't want to hear. They remind us about the voice we don't want to listen to. These powerless people who has the power to wake up our conscience and straighten up our souls and spirit when we get drunk by our own selfish interest and when we stop thinking about others from their perspective. And when we can't understand their needs. The psalmist began his story by looking for the true ruler and the real master who hold power over all these powerful people. These powerful people who named in the psalm, they are at ease. The people who are very comfortable. They have no problem. They have a lot of things around them. And these people also, they are not only at ease, but they are making fun of others who cannot feel the same way they are feeling, who cannot feel comfortable enough because they have nothing. The image we can see here is the group of people who are desperate for help and they're wondering about how to deal with their stress. And they felt very crushed to go nowhere, except to lift their eyes to the Lord and seek help. And another group who are at ease, they are in a place where they cannot see people from equal perspective. And when we are on the top of any big building, remember that, when you try to look down and see things, it's not the same when you are on the same level. You barely see things from the top of a tower or a big building. You see things as very tiny, or even you cannot even see them at all. Maybe you hear people moving their lips. You see it, but you can't hear what they are saying. Because you are not on the same level. You don't understand their language. They are not really speaking a foreign language. They are not with a second language like me. They're speaking really the same language, but you cannot understand the language of struggle and suffering. The language of not being able to sleep at the night because you didn't know, is the government going to bail your bell or not tomorrow? When the psalmist puts his eyes or her eyes on God, then they freed themselves from hatred. The interesting thing in the psalm, there is no name about this group. We didn't know who are they really speaking about. So it's a very interesting, even with this much struggle, it's still focused on their own need and didn't go to the hatred and pointing out fingers and call this specific group as an evil. And this is an amazing thing. This is the powerful thing of prayer that's really save us from ourselves too. And when the psalmist turn around and say, I don't know where to go. Maybe I have no choice. Maybe I really push to the corner, but I know I can lift my eyes to the Lord and still focus on the need and the hope and not focusing on the false expectation by other people. Another way we can say, how many times we were injured because we seek help in the wrong way or from wrong people. And I'm not here blaming people who take wrong choice or do a poor choice. But I'm saying you do not have to think this is the only way you can face your trouble. There is another way. There is another option. You are not only pushed to only one direction to make a poor choice and to do the wrong thing. But there is a way where you can lift your head and trust the Spirit. And here the psalm is telling us, we seek help, even when we seek help in the wrong way or with the wrong people, there is a chance to lift up our heads and talk to God. Stop disappointing yourself and seek the Lord from all your heart and from your whole entire mind. And the psalmist used a common image from their time when he said, we all can understand the relationship between slaves and masters and maid and her mistress. Maybe I'm not really in favor with this image, but really, this is the image to be fair for them, to put it in a context, thousands of years. This was the system and the society about it's okay to have a master and to have a slave. It's okay to have a maid and a mistress. But as we shared from the New Testament, we do not need to stay only with this image as we heard it in the Old Testament. But the New Testament is telling us now we can feel we are friends, we are family. This is not the kind of expectation of gratitude. Whatever will fall out of the hand of the master or the mistress will be received with a great gratitude. Jesus is telling us it's your full right of expectation from God. Because A, God is merciful, and B, God is your father, and C, is we are in together as a family. So maybe this image is a very powerful for their days. But I think the image that Jesus told us is more powerful. Do not wait for God's answer with a shaking hand. Is he or she going to give me what I want? Is God going really to understand me or going to act as a strong and merciless master? All this fear and waiting outside the door, concern about how are they going to act and give us what we want. But Jesus is telling us, you are not anymore slaves, you are friends. Come with this trust in Christ today. We can know we are not anymore slaves, but friends and family. So wait with a deep hope, built on faith in God's mercy, and do not need to wait with shaking body and with a frightened hand if the master is going to do what you asked for. This continuing to help us to remember all these psalms was written around the journey to go to Jerusalem. And the word in Hebrew goes of ascents or ascensions to the Holy Land. It really means to go up. And regardless of wherever the travelers came from, they all have to have the perspective always going up to the city. If you're coming from the south or the north, even if you join the group maybe in the middle of the journey or in the beginning or maybe close to the end, you all will have the same perspective moving forward and going up. This is the hope and this is the faith that when we pray actively walking. We know the road is not going to be easy. We know the road is not going to be without bumps and really, and maybe big holes in the middle or struggling and even trying to find a direction to take. But this is what God told us. I will be with you all the time. Do not look at other people from a higher perspective, but look as people as if you were in their shoes. Today, our world is in need to really to go up and not really to go down. Our world needs to look back to see how things turned us to be less merciful and less peaceful. And there is a choice to be the people of God. And today, when we ask ourselves, to whom shall we go? There is an option, there is a way. We can lift up our eyes to the divine, to see God's words, and to see the love of God through Jesus Christ.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the children of God. All who seek to earnestly follow Christ are invited to partake in this communion. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table with the Lord our God. This table is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is open to all who seek to follow Jesus Christ, who wish to be nourished by this feast and to be sent forth as Christ's disciples. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread, and he broke it, and blessed it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ as we join together here in our feast.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for your Son Jesus, who shared our weakness and was tempted in every way as we are. He came to earth that we and all people might be saved and set free to live in your Spirit. That day, and for all time. Now give us your Spirit in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup, so that by your power we may be drawn together and made one with Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Take these common elements that they might be set aside for your holy and Spirit-filled purpose in the coming to this table. In Christ and through Christ we pray.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world, and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after gave thanks to the Lord, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this remembering me."
Thank you.
can eat the bread of life broken for you.
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so remembering me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord's death until he shall come again." Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." Please join your hearts with me in the prayer of thanksgiving, adding your amen after I pray each line. Go to be God's peace in the world. Go to share God's love with all of God's children everywhere.
Amen.
Be at one with your brothers and sisters throughout creation.
Amen.
Go in the power of the Holy Spirit to shine God's love abroad.
Amen.
Go forth to meet the world that God loves.
Amen.
Go forth to be the presence of God in the world.
Amen.
Go into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Please give generously as we offer our tithes and offerings, and also our peacemaking offering. Thank you. Dear Jesus, as we offer our tithes to you and also our peace offering, Lord, may you help all our youth, both boys and girls, to be able to conquer violence that is so prevalent in our streets, and to help us, Lord, to use this offering wisely as we outreach into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is by the worship band.
Let us join in singing together alongside the worship band the piece that we heard first last week, some of us, and we will share it as our closing hymn.
Please be seated for a few seconds. I'd like to announce something is very important, but it's very hard for me to. I will try to make it very short and clear. As most of you know, last week I announced during the prayer time for me and my family, we are going to be together. And the plan was I traveled last Monday to prepare my family, to bring my family here. And was really very hard on my family, try to leave the other place, to move out, and to think about moving to a new place in less than 3 months. So as I talked, it was a session, and it was Pastor Chris. And as I name it, is the concern of the well-being of my family. And I felt my family needs me right now. And I cannot go from this call to a new call. I need a time in between for me and my family to be together. And I decided, and with the wisdom and the guidance of the session and Pastor Chris, is the first Sunday of November will be my last Sunday here. So I'm sorry to say that. The process will be the same, and Pastor Chris will tell us more about the plan after I leave. But in terms of the interim study committee, we'll do everything before I leave, so the whole document will be ready. Sorry to say that, and I really need your prayer, but sorry for bringing different news almost every month I talk with you. But I promise this is my last surprise for you. But I really need your prayer, as this is a very short time to deal with a lot of things. Thank you.
As you heard Pastor Medhat, his last Sunday with us will be November 3rd. We knew that he would be leaving by the middle of January, and I made the highest priority last month to get our personnel committee up and running so that we could be ready in January. And I'm very pleased and proud to say that this personnel committee has been amazing in the work that it has done already. And at the session meeting on Thursday, where we received this unexpected news, the session approved the position description for the in-between transitional pastor to the permanent pastoral leadership, who will join me in co-pastoring here as soon as we can get that person here. The personnel committee was authorized by session to conduct a search for a local candidate, part to full-time, depending on their qualifications and availability. So we, in addition to the prayers that Pastor Medhat would like, and the personnel committee would like, and I would like, all of us would like, I am sure, please, if you have folks that you think might be good candidates for this interim position, please get those names or let them know that they can apply here for that position. Judy Kawamoto, our session elder on personnel, and David Spader are the co-chairs of the personnel committee, or you can send information through me as well. The personnel committee will be working on this faithfully through this month, and we'll keep you updated at the end of the month after we've had a chance to hear the report of the interim study committee as to what's next after that. So please keep it all in prayer and be assured that as God is faithful through all of the 11 years I have been here, I trust that God will be faithful in this time as well. Thank you.
Go in peace now, create a place for everybody to belong and for every needs to be met. Amen.